الله على كل شيء قدير، وقال قل سيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المجرمين، وقال التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, a lot of difficult situations are going on for Muslims nowadays, and people sometimes speculate as to whether living in a non-Muslim environment is feasible for them anymore. And some come to the conclusion that we are not supposed to be here, and some even scholars even give fatwa that it's not permissible for a Muslim to be living in a non-Muslim environment. However, if we look at the adilla, the proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah, we will find there is guidance for us, and we can come to a conclusion in which we can be residing in the non-Muslim country and also practice our Islam, and it will be completely permissible for us to do so. So there are certain situations and certain guidelines that have to be kept in place for that permissibility to become, to come into place. So today's khutbah will be about this permissibility to live in a non-Muslim environment, and the second, by extension, would be the issue of participating in elections and so on. Obviously, if a person is living in a non-Muslim environment, he should be part and parcel of what's going on. He should have a say in what's going on, especially if it comes to things that are going to affect him, things that are going to affect the Ummah, things that are going to affect his immediate family and the Muslims in general, then obviously he should have a say in it and he should speak up about it. So in any case, I recited for you a couple of verses from the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. O Prophet of Allah, tell the people, سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, wander around in the earth, go and travel. فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقِ, and look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he started the creation. ثُمَّ اللَّهُ يُنْشِئُ النَّشْأَةَ الْآخِرَةِ, that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created this creation the first time, he can recreate it another time. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has power over everything. So what we understand from this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us as Muslims that we should go around and see the marvels of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the mountains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Look at the oceans that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Look at the huge trees and the beauty of the forests, the beauty of the flowers, the beauty of the animals. Ponder over these things and understand that there's a creator who created these things, and it doesn't limit us to staying in a country which is only so-called Islamic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us to wander over the earth, the whole earth. And it was with this understanding that many Muslim explorers, they traveled, they made discoveries, and there is an opinion that even Muslims were in the Americas prior to Columbus reaching here. So there is an opinion, if you go into history, and especially there's a historian, his name is Sheikh Abdullah Hakim Quick. He specializes in Islamic history, and especially the Islamic history of the Americas, how he believes, according to the proofs that he has, that Muslims were here much longer than people understand. So this was one ayah. Another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المجرمين. And according to another ayah, عاقبة المكذبين. Wander around on the earth, travel over the earth, and see what was the outcome of the criminals, the people that denied the message of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, the prophets of their time, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with them. So again, looking at the ruins of previous nations and seeing how they were so mighty and powerful and had everything. They had wealth and gold and silver and palaces. Where are those kings now? And where are those rich people now? Where are those people that had everything and even claimed to be gods? As Fir'aun used to say, أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِسْرِ وَهَذِي الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. Don't I have the kingdom of Misr? And these anhar, these rivers are flowing underneath me. So those kings, what happened to them? What happened to their kingdoms and their palaces? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to go around the earth and see these things and take an ibrah, take a lesson from them. And again, it doesn't specify whether it's only Muslim countries that you should visit. Those ruins can be in Islamic countries or non-Islamic countries, and we need to take a lesson from all of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes the people who have made a good trade with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنْفُسَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنْفُسَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these people that these people have made a trade with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? They want Jannah for that trade. And what are their qualities? Allah says later on in the ayah, At-ta'ibun, they are people that repent. Al-'abidun, they are constantly, perpetually in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-hamidun, they constantly praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sa'ihun, and this is the point that I wanted to make, they make siyaha on the earth. Siyaha, one of the opinions of Masih. Masih meaning Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was called Masih because he used to make siyaha. He used to wander, he used to travel around. And again, the purpose was not simply to travel and to just have fun, rather to travel and see the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that traveling. So as-sa'ihun, ar-raki'un, as-sajidun, people that make ruku, they make sajda. Al-amiruna bil-ma'roof wa nahuna 'anil munkar. They make amr bil-ma'roof wa nahi 'anil munkar. They order people to do good and forbid them from evil. Wal-hafidhuna li-hududillah. And they guard the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The limitations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these people who they are. And again, it does not specify where they live. Rather, wherever they are, they have these qualities. And it is from this verse we can derive the qualities that we are supposed to implement in ourselves. And specifically, the quality of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, meaning calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling them towards good, forbidding them from evil, inviting them towards Islam, and people that have strayed from Islam, calling them back to Islam. These are the qualities that believers are supposed to have. And in a non-Muslim environment, these are the qualities that we should have. This is the intention that we should be living in a non-Muslim environment. We also see in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, on two occasions, not just one, on two occasions, the Prophet ﷺ, he sent the Muslims to live under non-Muslim rule. Where did he send them? To Habasha, to Abyssinia. That at that time the king was a Christian, Najashi. And the Prophet ﷺ, he told the Muslims that go to Habasha. In Habasha there is a just and a fair king who will give you refuge. He instructed the Muslims to go there. And this Najashi, he went on to become a Muslim, but at the very beginning, he was open to listening to their story. The whole story is mentioned in the Sahih al-Bukhari, how the Muslims went and took refuge from there. I don't want to go into there now. But the point is that the Prophet ﷺ, not only allowed people to live in a non-Muslim environment, he actually, in this case, he encouraged people to live there. Why? Because he knew that the people will be able to practice their Islam in that particular country. There's another hadith narrated by Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to go to a lady whose name was Ummi Haram bint Malhan, and she was his aunt, and there are a couple of opinions as to how she became his aunt. One, that she was actually a blood relative of his and she became his aunt through that relationship. Another opinion is that she became his aunt through Rabaa, meaning one of the relatives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had been breastfed by her, and because of that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam became related to her through what is known as Rabaa. And Rabaa, the ruling of that is that whatever relationship it happens, it becomes like a blood relationship. So basically, if a woman gives her milk to any child, that child actually becomes just like her child, so the rulings of her child apply for her. So this woman's biological children cannot marry this child that she suckled. So this is the relationship through Rabaa. So there's one opinion that the Prophet ﷺ was related to this woman, Ummi Haram bint Malhan, through Rabaa. So the Prophet ﷺ, this riwayah says that the Prophet ﷺ used to go to Ummi Haram bint Malhan's house, فتطعمه, she used to feed him. وكانت أم حرام تحت عبادة بن صامت, and she was married to عبادة بن صامت. فدخل عليها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, so once the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to her, فأطعمته, she fed him, وجعلت تفلي رأسه, and she started looking for lice in his hair, nits in his hair. So this was, there's actually a huge discussion in the books of fiqh about, well, in the books of seerah, whether the Prophet ﷺ actually had lice in his hair or not. And the conclusion is that he did not have lice in his hair. It is not something that he was worthy of having. This is something that is not really regarded as something socially acceptable. But the reason that Ummi Haram did it, that this was a social activity of the time. And even in our countries, this is very common, that the older ladies, if they see a child sitting next to them, they will bring him close and then they will just start looking through his hair to see if he or she has any lice. This is a very common social activity that takes place. So the Prophet ﷺ was lying there and Ummi Haram, his aunt, started looking through his hair. فَنَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ ثُمَّ اسْتَيْقَظَ. So in this state, the Prophet ﷺ went to sleep, and then he woke up again, وَهُوَ يَضْحَكُ, and as he woke up, he was smiling. قَالَتْ, he says, وَمَا يُضْحِكُكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what is making you smile, O Prophet of Allah? And this is the point that I want to make. The Prophet ﷺ expressing his happiness at what he saw in his dream. He said, نَاسٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي عُرِضُوا عَلَيَّ, people from my ummah were presented to me in my dream, غُزَاتًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, making غَزْوَة, traveling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَرْكَبُونَ ثَبَجَ هَذَا الْبَحْرِ, riding the waves of this sea, مُلُوكًا عَلَى الْأَسِرَّةِ, like kings sitting on thrones, أو مِثْلَ الْمُلُوكِ عَلَى الْأَسِرَّةِ, or the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, like مِثْلَ, like kings sitting on the thrones. So Ummi Haram, she says, Ya Rasulullah, udu'u Allah an yaj'alani minhum. O Prophet of Allah, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes me amongst these people. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for her, and then he put his head down again, went to sleep, and then the whole thing repeated itself again. He saw again in his dream the same thing, and then she requested dua for him again. And he said that you are from the people that have already been accepted. Your dua has been accepted. And now the strange story is that Umm Hiram, ultimately, she did travel with her husband on expeditions. She did travel on expeditions, and she actually was martyred and killed when her donkey or horse slipped. She fell off the horse and her head hit a rock, or she broke her neck and she died in that state. But where did she die? That's the question. She died in a country in Europe called Cyprus. Okay, so Cyprus, the country is actually split into half, if you're aware of the history of this country. It is split into Greek Cyprus and Turkish Cyprus. Half of it is controlled by Turkey, half of it is controlled by Greece. And obviously the Turkish people are Muslims, Turkish speaking. On the other side, Greek Orthodox Christians, and they speak Greek. And the strange thing is that her grave, which has been very well preserved and it's a landmark, it's a tourist attraction, people go there. There is a mosque built there, and it has been well preserved by the Greek government. So people can visit there, and it is the grave of this Sahabiya that requested the Prophet ﷺ to make dua for her, that she becomes amongst those people that travel for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is real proof that the Prophet ﷺ did not disapprove of people traveling towards non-Muslim countries. So then the question is, what is the condition? What are the conditions that we are supposed to have where we are allowed to live in a non-Muslim country? We need to step back a little bit and understand the three different categories of place or state that we could be living in. One is called Darul Islam. Darul Islam meaning an Islamic country, Islamic kingdom, or a khilafah, which is basically based on Islamic rules. All the laws and everything are according to Islamic teachings. This is one thing. Then there's the opposite extreme, which is called Darul Harb. Darul Harb is that country in which Muslims are not allowed to practice their religion, and basically if somebody stands up to try to practice his religion, then they will be persecuted for it. That is a place which is either called Darul Kufr or Darul Harb. Okay, so Darul Kufr or Darul Harb, where a person is a Muslim and cannot practice his Islam. And the example of that would be in a country like Russia, under communist rule, they did not allow any type of religion, and including Islam. And in China, in some parts of China, where Muslims are not allowed to fast, this would be regarded as Darul Kufr or Darul Harb, in which Muslims are having a hard time to live, and they should either try to change the situation there, or they should leave from that country because they're not allowed to practice their Islam. So in between these two, there is something which is known as Darul Amn. Darul Amn. And this is where we are living in, where Muslims, by law, their religion is protected, their practice of religion is protected, and as Muslims, we are all allowed to. We have freedom of religion. We are allowed to build our masajid. We are allowed to build our Islamic schools. Okay? You know, we have individual cases here and there that due to bigotry and due to, hatred of Islam, people have had problems doing these things. But by law, if you go back to the law, and if it goes to high courts, you will find that the Muslims, they would constitutionally be allowed to practice their religion. So in this situation, Muslims are allowed to live as long as they can practice their Islam, and secondly, they are making every effort that they can to give dawah to people and invite people to Islam. And that doesn't even have to be a verbal dawah. It can be simply a person practicing his Islam and being a good example for others to follow. So this is how we are allowed to stay in a non-Muslim environment. And we've heard ample proofs from the Quran, we've heard ample proofs from the Sunnah, and we've heard again the three categories of state that are found throughout the world, and we are in Darul Amn, in which we are allowed to practice our Islam. Now the issue of voting in this country, it seems to be still a controversial issue among some people. And people, they rely upon some fatwa that have been given that it's not permissible to vote in a non-Muslim election. And the reasoning given is that the politicians, they will be propagating non-Islamic rules. And the problem with these fatwa, with all due respect to the scholars that give these fatwas, is that they are given by those scholars that are not living, they are not residing in this country, the majority of them. The scholars that reside in this country and they have been familiarized with how the system works, they will realize that there is no way to change the laws, there is no way to change the system unless and until you become part of the system by being part of the voting bloc, by voting for your candidates, and by making them know that we voted for you and we need for you to do things for us in local government or even at state level or federal level. And this can only happen when Muslims are active in the voting arena. So it's very important, and particularly in this election in which we've been hearing anti-Islamic rhetoric from one particular candidate, we know who that is, it's important to give a message that we as Muslims will not stand for this. We will not accept this. And we need to go to the voting booth on Monday. Actually, the early voting starts. Don't delay it until the last day. From Monday, we need to go to the voting booth. Irving City Hall, you know, you can vote there. You don't have to go to any other area. You can simply go to the Irving City Hall during early voting, vote there, and that's the end of, you fulfill your responsibility. Okay? Also, each one of us needs to find out that which local candidate has been supportive of Muslims and which local candidate we need to vote for. All right, this is very important too, because all politics is local, as they say. Why? Because the local politicians are the ones that are going to be influential in your day-to-day life. When it comes to getting permits, for example, to build the extension of the masjid, who do we go to? We don't go to Washington, we go to the local city hall. So those politicians that we stood up for and we voted for, they will vote in our favor. So local politicians, we need to find out who is in our favor, who has been sympathetic to Islam and Muslims, and we need to vote for that person. Okay? And there are organizations within the area that are working to make lists to make sure that people are going in and voting on an educated basis and not voting blindly for the person that they're not even aware of what his principles and values are. So the summary is that we need to make sure that in this election we vote, we make our voice heard. If we're not registered, make sure you register to vote. It's too late for this election, but once you're registered forever. Okay, so you know, you need to do that as soon as possible so that at least in the next city elections and so on, you can vote for the next election, inshallah. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد من صلى وصام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد من قعد وقام وصل على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى الملائكة المقربين وعلى عباد الله الصالحين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واقذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم. اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا. اللهم انصر لنا ولا تنصر علينا. اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا. اللهم آتنا ولا تحرمنا. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار. آمين يا رب العالمين. آمين يا رب العالمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العلي الجليل يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا على الصلاة. هيا على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة. قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
Straighten the lines, close the gaps, make sure the line's straight. Heels on the line, stand shoulder to shoulder, make sure there are no gaps. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm Al-Din. Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. الله أكبر. يا الله من حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. يا الله من حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Just a few announcements, inshallah. As usual, we request everybody to at least donate $20 to the masjid. This is for the operational expenses. If you cannot do 20, at least do 10. If not 10, then 5, but at least put something, inshallah, on the box on your way out. Inshallah, there's going to be a lecture today after Salatul Isha by myself. It's going to be about muhasabah or self-accountability. Tomorrow, there's going to be an Islamic home financing seminar. Okay, so if anybody is interested in financing for her home purchase, it's going to be taking place tomorrow after Salatul Maghrib in room 210 upstairs. There's going to be a laptop drive for refugees today after Maghrib. If you have a laptop that is in usable condition, even if it's used, this drive is going to be tonight, and the laptops are going to be collected and they're going to be given to needy families in the area that are refugees, so that they can make job applications and keep in touch with their relatives in other countries. The Islamic School annual fundraising is going to be on November 19th. Please put that in your calendar. And inshallah, Saturday, November 5th, ICI is hosting an open house for teachers. Okay, the teachers are the first step for educating the community at large, which is the non-Muslim.